Welcome to Hope Is Here. We're continuing our conversation about a new book that's out called Still Standing, Inspirational Stories of Hope After Divorce. And unfortunately, the marriage rate in churches is not much more successful as far as staying together than people that don't go into church. And we want to help to reduce that rate, but also want to help people get healing that have been through divorce. I've shared on Hope Is Here the past 2.5 years several times about being a product of divorce myself, not my biological parents, but myself. And yet there is healing and hope. And this new book, as we shared two previous programs, one of the authors, Cherish Rooks, really could help you and encourage you. And we're going to have another one of those authors with us today, Tammy Bolton. And Tammy wrote a chapter in it, a story called Beauty for Ashes. And, you know, Tammy, I think the thing that I've shared and I know that would be the desire of your heart, nobody enters a marriage thinking they're going to get divorced, do they?
Absolutely not. No, I certainly did not.
Well, I think that's the thing that, you know, people, I do a lot of weddings now as a pastor, and, you know, I tell people with, you know, marriage is that, you know, it's the hardest thing you ever do, but it's the best thing you'll ever do, and yet sometimes, unfortunately, it doesn't work out, and I'm thankful that you did write this book along with six other ladies to just share about your stories of recovery and what you've learned and how you can have hope. Tell me, why did you entitle your section Beauty for Ashes?
That's a great question. Beauty for Ashes came out of what my experience was, because I felt like my entire world had been burnt to charred remains. I was covered in the ash of the remains of several failed marriages. And Beauty for Ashes is actually a scripture verse in the Bible that really resonates with my story and how God has changed things around in my life, even though I made some very poor choices and been through several failed marriages. God has given me beauty for ashes. He's taught me some valuable lessons and has given me truth to combat the lies that I believed about myself along the way.
Well, that's one of the things I love, how you share in this chapter about things you've learned. And Joyce Meyer, one of my heroes, you know, she wrote a book, I believe, called Beauty for Ashes several years ago.
Yes, and she did.
And I was not familiar with, I would say, a 61-3 either until I heard that from her. When I read your chapter, I looked it back up, and where it talks about having God will make beauty for the ashes, the parts of your life that have burned down and just seem like they can never be restored. And so I love the name of that. And one of the things I liked in your section is that you listed six ambers and then my truth. Talk a little bit about why you chose it like that and what the embers are.
Okay. So like I said, my story came out of Beauty for Ashes, came out of me believing some lies from the enemy. And God connected my story to the lies being similar to embers that were planted in my life at a very early age. These lies that I believed about God, about myself, about others. And those lies were planted into my soul multiple times and reinforced many times. And I combated every lie that I believed about myself, God, and others with the truth of God's word.
Well, like you were so transparent in your book, you said, I also struggle with the root of rejection, performance, acceptance, thinking. All these things caused me to make really poor choices that were rooted in fear, shame, and guilt, which are the ingredients for a painfully disappointing life, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And I can resonate with all those, fear, shame, and guilt. I know people listening can do that. So the enemy, I know, makes you think you're the only one, but you're not. But yet God does want to help eliminate the fear and heal the shame and guilt you feel. And let's start with that first ember that you talked about. What was the first ember in your book?
The first ember I listed as I'm dirty and nasty, and that came from an experience of molestation that happened whenever I was a little child, and my mother did not like that very well. She caught me and two little boys were playing doctor. It was really very innocent, but I was severely punished for that, and that drove home to me that I was dirty and nasty for that occurrence, and it just carried on with me for the rest of my life. It just became an ember that was planted in the core of my being and my soul, and I just felt so dirty and nasty from that.
Well, what did you replace it with is my truth.
My truth says that God says I'm beautiful and I'm clean, And he gave me a couple scriptures, Song of Solomon 4:7, "You're altogether beautiful, my darling, beautiful in every way." And then he also reminded me in Psalms 51, verse 7, "Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow." I couldn't fix myself. I couldn't make myself not feel dirty. God's word has made me feel clean, and I'm grateful for that.
Amen and amen. Share with us what Amber 2 was in your book.
Amber number 2 was, "I am a disappointment. I'm less than what was hoped for." And that came from my dad telling me that he always wanted a boy, but he got stuck with me. I know he didn't really mean anything harmful by that, Greg, but those words are very harsh when you're 7. And I just felt like he was just always going to be disappointed that I was a girl. But God gave me a truth, and that truth is that I'm not a mistake, and that my Heavenly Father delights in me. He gave me Psalms 139, verses 13 through 18. It talks about him making me in my mother's womb, and he made me wonderfully complex. I'm just paraphrasing now because it is a little lengthy of a verse, but I highly recommend anyone that feels like they're a mistake for whatever reason, someone's spoken that over them, or they just believe that in their heart, that, you know, they're not what was hoped for. Maybe their parents spoke that. Maybe a loved one in the family, maybe a husband or a wife, has spoken that over them. God does not make mistakes, ever. And I believe people in your listening audience need to hear that.
Well, there's no doubt about it. We actually, a couple weeks ago, spent almost a whole week on Psalm 139.
Oh, wow.
Because it's so
one of my
powerful. Yeah. You know, especially the last part there says, "How precious are your thoughts about me, O God.
Yes.
I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand.
Yes.
And when I wake up, you are still with me." And
amen.
For people listening today, they need to know that maybe other people's thoughts may not have been good about them, but God's thoughts are always good about
always.
Us.
Always. And that's freeing. I mean, it just changes everything. When you can really believe that our Heavenly Father has nothing but great thoughts about us, no matter what we've done in our past, it's amazing because maybe our earthly father or mother did not have great things to say about us or think great thoughts about us, but God's not our parents. He's greater. He's more almighty. He created us in our mother's wombs, and his thoughts are more powerful, and they have more meaning than anyone else's.
Well, I love Zephaniah 3:17.
Yes.
Which you also listed as one of your truths. Share that with
yes.
us.
Yes. "For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs." The thought of God delighting in me, it was a concept that I just couldn't fathom. And he showed me this in the word, and it just touched my heart. And he rejoices over me with joyful songs. He's not looking at me like I'm so disappointed in what you've done, Tammy, or who you are. No, he is rejoicing over all of us every day because he loves us so much.
Amen. Ember number 3, share with us on that one.
Ember number 3 for me is, if you do something that someone doesn't like, they will withdraw from you and stop loving you. Now, that's a very serious lie to believe, but it came out of something kind of ridiculous. When I was 10 years old, I wanted to get my ears pierced, and my dad didn't want me to do that. He said, if you were supposed to have holes in your ears, you would have been born with them. I mean, you could probably hear my dad saying that. That was a generation, a time ago, obviously, back a little longer than our generation, of course, and it sounds comical now, but it really rocked me. I lived my life, most of my childhood, thinking I have to be perfect, otherwise they're going to reject me. And I know there's other people on the planet that have experienced that. That is a lie straight from the enemy. Our parents love us. At their core, they love us. They may not like the act, but sometimes people have a hard time differentiating between the person and the act. And I think that was probably part of the problem. But my truth that combated that was, nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. I love that verse, and that's in Romans 8:38. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from the love, from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fear for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. And the other verse was Hebrews 13:5. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have, for God has said, I will never fail you, and I will never abandon you. When we go through difficult times, Greg, it's easy for us to believe that we're all alone. But we're not. God is always there. And I take comfort in knowing that.
Well, Hebrews 13:5 has helped me a lot of times when I've been alone, whether it's because of after a divorce or just even, you know, we both know people, friends that are in marriages that aren't, quote, physically alone, but they're lonely.
Mm-hmm.
And yet God says there in Hebrews 13:5, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. And for somebody listening today, you need to know that you're not alone. And one of the things I think that sometimes we think will fill that God-sized shape hole in our heart is that we have more material things, yet the first part of that verse says, don't love money, be satisfied with what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's also a word for somebody listening today, to let God fill that hole in your heart, not mm-hmm. stuff.
Right.
Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Money can't buy happiness. Or peace. No matter how hard you try, it can't. You're still left with a hole. And only God can fill that.
Amen. All right, let's go to ember number four.
Ember number four is, I'm not good enough to spend time with because I'm a girl. This is a problem because when I turned into a young woman at age 12 and started my menstrual cycle, my dad was very uncomfortable with that. And he decided he wasn't going to spend any more time with me. I'm not sure why he was so uncomfortable with that part, but it was part of my growing up. And I, you know, felt like that day our entire relationship changed and I was forgotten, which caused me to start seeking the attention of boys. That's a very dangerous trap. And there may be some women out there, maybe even men, that feel like you feel like you're not good enough. And maybe someone has spoken that over you because you're a man or a woman, whatever, a boy or a girl. There's nothing wrong with you. God has created you for a purpose. And in Him, we lack nothing. That is a truth that I combated that lie with. There's nothing wrong with who you are. And if you're not careful, you'll seek the attention of the opposite sex to try to fill that void.
Yeah.
As I did.
Well, and you list three great scriptures there that have been some of my favorites over the years that have helped encourage me and reminded me of God's love for me. Share those scriptures with us, please.
Genesis 1:27. So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is all you need. My power works best in your weakness.
Three really, really good scriptures that I know that people needed to hear today. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but the good news is Tammy is going to be back with us. Tammy Bolton is one of the contributing authors to a new book called Still Standing. It's Inspirational Stories of Hope After Divorce. I want to encourage you to pick a copy of that up. You can go to Amazon.com or Barnes & Noble and get that copy of this. If you're driving and you're wanting to know more about this, or you're like, man, I just got in the tail end of this, you can catch us on our podcast of this radio program. Go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. Join us again tomorrow as Tammy Bolton is our guest as we continue talking about Still Standing, Inspirational Stories of Hope After Divorce on Hope Is Here.
Are you allergic to gluten and struggle to find good-tasting gluten-free food in Central Kentucky? Well, I've got great news. Gluten-Free Miracles Healthy Bakery and Cafe is locally owned and located conveniently in Lexington, off Nicholasville Road, right behind Jeff's Car Wash. Everything is made from scratch and gluten-free. They also have options for those on the paleo, keto, and vegan lifestyles. And for pumpkin lovers, they have their seasonal items out now. For more information, you can check them out online at glutenfreemiracles.com. That's glutenfreemiracles.com.